followers of Jesus need not be anxious about anything, for the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds as we rejoice in the Lord and pray with thanksgiving.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, we have some things that God has told us in His Word. And some of those things, we know what God has said. And we perhaps even understand in part why God has said these things to us. But we can struggle with being obedient to it, can't we? Anybody discovered that? I have. That sometimes it's hard to be obedient to what God says in His Word. But one of the things that He has said in His Word is do not be anxious about anything. Really, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Aren't you glad God tells us not to be anxious about anything? But it's not always easy to be obedient to that command. And it's a command, isn't it? It's not a, well, you know what, if it'll make you feel better, don't be anxious about anything. No, He commands us. He tells us this. Do not worry. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. That doesn't mean that we don't have legitimate cares or concerns. We do, don't we? But they ought to drive us to our knees in prayer. And entrusting and turning things over to God does not mean that we don't take any action, right? We do. But we're told not to be anxious about it, about anything, or to worry about it. But you know what the truth is we live in a very anxious and fretful world, don't we? There's all kinds of threats out there to us, to our well-being. Disease. What's the disease of the day now? What is it? The coronavirus, right? Now again, I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but all right, here we go. Just a moment. Do we need to be careful with this thing and manage this thing carefully? And keep? Absolutely. But do you think, with the amount of attention it's getting in the media, that it is worthy of hysteria? The reality is, now again, it's a dangerous thing and it needs to be managed carefully, right? But you know, we're talking like here in the, I know in China that's one thing, but here in the United States, we're walking, what is it, about 15, 20 people now, I think, have been diagnosed with this. I don't think anyone's died from it here. And yet the reality is just plain old normal flu kills tens of thousands. It infects millions of Americans every year. I think it's like 20 million Americans. 2 million are hospitalized, and about 10 to 15,000 people die from the flu every year, just plain old flu. And that there's this coronavirus. Now again, I'm not saying we don't do anything about it and we're not careful. We don't keep it from spreading here, right? But there's a little perspective there, right? See, the media operates on attention, gets threat, danger, right?
The leading story to the day.
Disease, crime. Is there crime in our world? Okay. Yeah. War. Social and political strife. Any political strife going on in our country right now? You know what? I've told you this before, and I'm glad to say I've made some progress here on this. And maybe some of us here, I think some of you have also joined me on this quest here. If not, maybe it's time to consider it, if maybe you might need to do this too. That is, I've always been kind of a news junkie, right? I could sit there just and one of the greatest days for me in life was the birth of 24-hour cable news, right? How many of you think maybe 24-hour cable news is one of the worst things that's ever happened to our country now, right? Because what is it? It's constant. And it's not good news, is it? And what do you think happens to us when we're constantly exposed to that? And then the pressure of ratings and entertainment coming into it. And, well, what is truth? What is truth? Someone once famously asked, right? So at some point, and that makes us anxious, doesn't it? At some point I realized, you know what? I like a good debate. I like knowing what's going on. I like thinking about these things. But at some point it's like, I can't keep listening to this stuff all the time anymore. Right? Because it just makes us more and more anxious, doesn't it? And so, yes, I still watch some. I still want to know what's going on. But man, I really had to tamp it down. So there's anxiety about what's going on out there. But sometimes that anxiety can come onto our own homes, can it? Into our own souls. We can become anxious about our relationships, marriage relationships, family relationships, as our children, grandchildren. We become anxious about our finances. Anxious about our health. Anxious about the unknown future. But God tells us, do not be anxious about anything. So rather than be anxious, His Word tells us to do something, which kind of, it isn't always an easy thing to do. But it's a blessing of God that He tells us to do this. So He says, rather than being anxious, don't be anxious about anything, but instead do what? Rejoice and pray. Rejoice and pray. We're going to look today at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. What I want us to take away from this here today is this thought right here, that followers of Jesus need not be anxious about anything, for the peace of God will guard our hearts and minds as we rejoice in the Lord and pray with thanksgiving. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And it has become, I know, one of Lynn's favorite passages of Scripture, hasn't it, Lynn?
Yes, and I'm so calm now.
And you're so calm now, aren't you? How many of you know that Lynn is a very, very calm person, isn't she? She never freaks out about anything. Now, she is not the person who I always have to say, do not freak out. But sometimes I do have to say that to her, right?
Yeah, right.
Don't freak out, but pray. There you go. A little context of the word here today. So Philippians is sometimes called the joy epistle, the joy letter. Because joy, rejoicing in the Lord, the joy of the Lord is a major theme that you see throughout it. And this joy, which by the way is a subject about which I'm learning a little bit more. Anybody else still learning as you go through your Christian life here? But this joy is it's a settled state of God's peace, I think is one way of looking at it, that comes from resting in our hope. It's a settled state of God's peace that comes from resting in our hope. But as Paul writes this, he is a prisoner. He's in prison. And he has said some things that to live is Christ, to die is gain. That we are called to follow Christ's example, how Christ humbled himself, so too ought we to humble ourselves, to have this same attitude in us that Christ Jesus had. Of that humble servant. That we are to press on to the goal of that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And Paul knows he hasn't arrived yet, but he's going to continue pressing on that he might know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. So move into chapter 4. We're being encouraged to live in harmony. I know this is a real shocker for you, but apparently in the church at Philippi, which was a good, healthy church, there were some personal problems going on. A little conflict between two women named Euodia and Syntyche. And so Paul is entreating them, begging them to agree in the Lord. And then he asks the rest of the church, "What? Help these women come alongside. Help whatever the problem is, whatever the issue was, help them to agree in the Lord and promote peace and unity in the church." Do we still need that today, that ministry? Absolutely, right? Which brings us to our text then for today, starting Philippians 4, verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So I want us to reflect on that as we sing the Word of God speak. Let's ask the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to speak to us through His Word here today, shall we? Are you anxious about something today? Is there something weighing down your heart? Rejoice in the Lord always and present your request with thanksgiving before the throne of God today. I want to look at a series here then in this text of things that we are told to do, commandments of God's Word here for us. First off is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. There we see that theme there again of Philippians, of joy, rejoicing. Now, when we rejoice, we're told to rejoice not in the circumstances themselves, things that whatever they may be, because there's an awful lot of things that are going on in our lives or in the world that we're not rejoicing in those circumstances themselves, right? You hear some bad news, you're not happy for that bad news, you're not rejoicing at that bad news, but rather we are rejoicing in the Lord, right? Rejoice in the Lord. What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord? Well, I think that means that whatever is going on in our lives, all the topsy-turvy changes and events and catastrophes, that there is one constant, one person who is the constant in our lives, and that is the Lord. That He is our solid rock, our sure and certain foundation. And He is the one in whom we can put our trust and our confidence. And we rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in who God is. You know, I think that might make a great sermon series. And we've been looking at Wonder Lake Bible Institute and Bible doctrine here, some of these early classes, we've looked at some of the attributes or the qualities or characteristics of God. What is God like? I'm thinking that might make a great sermon series here one day here about the attributes of God. Rejoicing in the Lord means rejoicing in who God is and what God is like. The fact, for example, that God knows all things means that you and I never have to explain anything to Him. That He knows us fully, and He knows everyone fully. He knows everything fully, and we can rest in that confident assurance that we don't have to explain anything to God. Or we can rest then in God's faithfulness. Isn't it good to know that God is truth? He never lies. That He never makes a promise that He doesn't fulfill or keep. And so we can rejoice in that, rejoice and rest in His faithfulness. Rejoice in the Lord is rejoicing in who God is, in what God is like, in what God has done, and what God is doing, and in what God is going to do. That's our hope. Right? Bible speaks of us as being Men and women who have hope, eternal hope. What is our hope? Well, in short, our hope is that God is going to finish what he has started in us. He is going to do everything he has promised. And that your life, my life, what God is doing in the church, in the world, it's going somewhere, isn't it? And where it is going is that ultimate fulfillment of all things in Christ for the glory of God, and that he is going to make all things new, that we are going to live with him forever in resurrected bodies on a new earth. That is our hope. And it is sure and as certain as anything. It is as sure and certain as the fact that you and I are here, right here in this room in this moment. Because it's backed up by the sovereign, almighty God who never lies and who knows all things and can be trusted. So whatever is happening in our lives, we rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in who he is. Rejoice in his character, his nature. We rejoice in his promises. We rejoice in his faithfulness. We rejoice in what he has done. Anybody here like keep a little list of answered prayers? Like, you know, maybe something. I think it's good to go back and look at prayer lists sometimes, isn't it? And sometimes we may see that God answered that exactly the way we were hoping or praying for at that moment, right? And other times he did answer, but it wasn't quite the way we thought at the time, but maybe with a little perspective we come back and say, you know what? His answer was better than that, right? And on the other hand, we might see some things to think, you know what? God didn't answer that the way I thought, or I don't see it, but he is to be praised, isn't he? So when we rejoice in the Lord, it's his character, his nature, his promises, his faithfulness to us in the past, and in an eager anticipation of what he's going to do in the future. And we do this whenever we feel like it, right? Rejoice in the Lord whenever you feel like it. No, rejoice in the Lord always. But I think, well, it's easy to rejoice in the Lord when things are going well, the way we want them to go, right? Not as easy when it's not going as well. But I think actually when things aren't going as well, according to our perspective of things, that's when we need to rejoice all the more in him then, don't we? Rejoice in the Lord always. And then it says what? Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. What does that mean? Well, I would describe it in this way. He's telling us to be humbly gracious toward one another. That word reasonableness there has this idea of being patient with people, of being humble before people, of extending grace and mercy and kindness to people. You know, God has put one of the great things about the churches is that God has put us together in this one body so that we can love one another and care for one another and serve one another. That's one of the great things about the church. One of the downsides about the church is that God has put us together in this one body, right? So that we can love one another and care for one another. It's not always easy to love one another, is it? Or to care for one another or to serve one another. And sometimes we need to extend a little grace to one another, don't we? To be patient with one another. So I think what he's saying here is extend gracious, humble kindness to one another. You know, I think that that's one of the things, there are many things, but I think that's one of the things that God uses in our lives to help us, to minister to us when we are in the midst of difficult, trying times. It's the love of other people in our lives to come alongside us, isn't it? So be humbly gracious toward one another, overlooking faults, and serving. And then do not be anxious about anything. There's that command. I know it's easier said than done, isn't it? That's kind of our default human position, is to freak out, right? But I would paraphrase this by saying, do not freak out. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, someone, I think, somewhere in the Bible says something about that, about don't be anxious about anything, that each day has enough trouble of its own, right? Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Where he told them, don't be anxious about these things, that God knows your needs, and he will provide for those needs. So let's not worry about those things, but let's be focused on what? The kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and God will provide what we need, right? Don't be anxious. So do not be anxious about anything. And when it says anything, that means everything, doesn't it? Anything includes everything. Because, you know, there might be something that's like, okay, God, I've got this. I've got this under control here. How many of you have found out that the things that you thought you had under control, God showed you, no, you don't, right? Mm-hmm. We need to entrust everything into his hands, into his care and keeping, don't we? And so do not be anxious about anything. For the Lord is at hand. You know, Bible commentators understand that in a couple of different ways. Some say that, you know, when it says the Lord is at hand, it means that it's referring to his presence right here with us. He is at hand. He's right here with us. God is with us in this situation, right? Some have said, well, the Lord is at hand. It's a reference to the fact that he's coming again. You know, that he's coming again and he's going to fulfill all of his promises. We need to hold on because his coming is near. So when it says the Lord is at hand, does it mean that he's right here with us, or does it mean that he's coming again soon? And the answer is yes.
Yes and yes.
He is here with us, and he is coming again soon, isn't he? And because of that, then, we need not be anxious about anything. The Lord is with us, and he's coming again soon. So if we're not going to be anxious, we need to replace it with something. What are we going to replace our anxiety with? We're going to replace it with prayer. Prayer with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving in everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but instead pray with thanksgiving about everything. Pray is what? It's a communication with God, talking with God about it, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is a particular kind of prayer, an element of prayer. When we pray, we're communicating with God, we're talking with God, we can praise and worship him, worship his name, we can confess our sins, we can express thanksgiving for him, for his grace, his mercy, his love, all of these things, right? But what is supplication? Well, it's presenting our needs or our requests. And doing so in a way, I think, that is very particular and specific. You know, one of the things that I've been challenged on, how many of you know that that spiritual growth can be a dangerous thing? Have you discovered that, right? And sometimes you sense that God is doing something in your life. He's teaching you something, or he wants you to grow in some way. And the reality is that's a wonderful thing. But boy, that process of growing through that can be really challenging, isn't it? And one of the things that God has been doing in my life over this past year, and dare I say, oh boy, I'm sensing it's going to continue in 2020 here, okay? That is, I have been sensing that God is challenging me to grow me in prayer to be more bold and specific. To be more bold and specific in prayer. Now, I could tell you some stories about that, but I'm looking at my watch, the clock. I don't think you want to be here all day, okay? But how many of you know? Doesn't that sound exciting? God wants to teach me to pray more boldly and more specifically, rather than kind of this general, pray, oh Lord, your will be done. Well, it's good to pray, Lord, your will be done, right? But since he's been speaking to me about some specific things, and this means I'm going to have my faith, I'm going to have to grow in faith and trust on this, aren't I? And what is one of the ways that God uses us to grow our faith? What's his favorite way of growing our faith? Putting us in situations that require faith, right? Tough circumstances. But you know what? I'm very thankful for what God has done in my life in the last year in that. And I'm really looking forward to 2020, Lord, right? So we pray and we get specific with God about these things. And we do it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, again, for who God is. Thanksgiving for what God has done. And thanksgiving for what God is going to do. And with that thanksgiving is faith then in what God is going to do, right? And that doesn't mean, faith doesn't mean trusting that God is going to do exactly what I'm asking him to do. Now, he may do exactly what we're asking, but faith is meaning what? Is we are trusting him that he's going to do what's best. And sometimes that's going to be exactly what we're asking for, but sometimes it isn't, but we still need to trust him, don't we? And so rather than being anxious, pray. Take the need, take the concern before God with thanksgiving in your heart. Rejoicing in who he is, what he's done and what he's going to do. With thanksgiving in your heart for who he is and what he's done and what he's going to do. And turn it over to God. Don't be anxious. Worry about or be fretful. But instead then, rest. Rest in God's peace. And the peace of God means what? To say that God is peace means that there is no confusion or disorder or disharmony in him. And so when we are in God, when we are resting in God's peace, we are resting that God has this. He has this situation. We don't need to be confused about it. We don't need to be getting tossed about this way and that way in our souls. But that God's got this. And it says this peace surpasses human understanding. It goes beyond our ability to say, like, how in the world can we possibly be at peace in this moment right now? Well, humanly speaking, I don't know how I can, but I am, because God has this. Whatever is to come, God has this. I am secure in him. And then the word says that as we pray with thanksgiving, that his peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that guard there, it's a military term. It's like setting up a camp around us, setting up a guard around us. You know, I feel really comfortable that we have a man in our congregation here right now who I know, he's got our back. He's guarding us all the time. And I'm thankful for that. But you know who's guarding him and all the rest of us? God is, right? He's watching over us. And the peace of God will watch over or protect us. It's like that guard, that officer standing duty, standing sentry around us, saying, whoa, 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 to the anxiety and the worry and the burden. The peace of God, which surpasses human understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. So what? Well, I'll take us back where we started. Followers of Jesus, then, need not be anxious about anything, for the peace of God will guard or protect your hearts and your minds as we rejoice in the Lord and we pray with thanksgiving. So I'd ask, what is weighing heavily on your heart today? Is there a burden, a need, a concern, something that's pressing heavily upon you? Well, I would remind you, remind myself, remind all of us, what, to remember God's past faithfulness and celebrate our future hope. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice and pray. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and then the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you have given us eternal hope, that we need not be fretful or fearful or anxious about anything, that whatever may come our way, you are with us in us, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that whatever may come in this life, we have eternal hope. And thank you, Lord, that we have all seen and can testify to how you have ministered powerfully to us in meeting some particular need and intervening in a situation that just seemed hopeless or humanly impossible. But you do the humanly impossible, Lord, because with you, nothing is impossible for you. All things are possible with you. So we thank you then, Lord, for your many, many interventions in our lives, but supremely the intervention of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who no matter what may come today or tomorrow, we know that we are secure eternally in him. And so we rejoice in that. We rejoice in that hope. Lord, we rejoice in you today. We unburden ourselves before you now. These needs, these concerns that are on our hearts, Lord, we entrust them into your care and your keeping, asking that your peace would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.